Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to KCPW. I'm Roger McDonough, and right now it's time for our Better Utah Legislative Update with Marianne Martindale, Executive Director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for Better Utah. Marianne, it's almost the end of the session. There are just a couple of days left. Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel here?
Yeah, we have probably about 24, 26 real hours of work left between today and tomorrow night. It ends at midnight tomorrow night. That's the final, when the final gavel falls. And I think everyone is looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. It's long. You know, that 45 days, I don't know how people do it that have these 60, 75, you know, year-round sessions.
Yeah, I know. It must be an entirely different process.
And, exactly.
Thank goodness for what we've got here. Okay, well, let's talk about a couple of things. There's a lot pending, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I wanted to start off today with the anti-discrimination bill, a non-discrimination bill, a measure to protect LGBT Utahns in housing and employment. That has had a really long road here in Utah.
8 years. Eight sessions.
Wow.
So this started in 2008 with Representative Christine Johnson, who's no longer even, she's not even living in the state. And then about 4 years after that, it passed to Senator Ben McAdams, who also is no longer in the legislature. It seems like the bill is outliving the sponsors.
Right.
It's been shepherded through by Senator Steve Urquhart the last couple of years. And really, I mean, this is a Herculean effort by a lot of people to try to get everyone to the table, everyone to have the discussion. Substantively, the bill is probably pretty close to the original bill 8 years ago. I mean, it's essentially saying, like, you cannot just simply fire someone or evict them or not give them a house or any of those types of things for them being gay. You can't just say, Roger, you're gay, I want to evict you.
Right, get out.
That can't be the sole reason. Even if you do have, you know, religious reasons. So it's been this collaborative work to try to get the language correct so that it does feel, or at least provide the security that a lot of the religious folks have been feeling was non-existent before this.
Well, you said, Marianne, that it's largely the same text, but obviously there's one major difference to the text this year.
Exactly, and it does articulate the ability to voice your opinion or to make exceptions for this. There are some exemptions based on deeply held religious beliefs. Those are in things like, much smaller homes or smaller apartment, maybe like, you know, fourplexes, 16-plex, things like that. Very small companies, under 15, things like that. There's a lot of people in the LGBT community who are upset with any exemptions.
Right.
And I can understand that argument. I mean, that's, you know, it's frustrating to say, oh, well, you're okay, but I can still can discriminate you if I have a small business. But that was the negotiation. That was sort of the tipping point for both sides. Like, we will only go up to this amount, and they said we won't take anything less than this. And that's legislation, frankly. I mean, that's how policy is created. It's a lot of negotiation. And we're talking about people's lives, so there's always going to be people who are going to be upset about this. Frankly, I think it's a good first step. It's something that will make people comfortable that this isn't, you know, the hair on fire problem that everyone thinks that it could potentially be, that religious people are going to be respected and allowed to still, you know, practice their religion as they see fit, and that LGBT people will be protected in housing and workplace. And we can all live together, and it will be a great thing. So it's a good step.
And a long trail to get here. You did mention something. The bill does enshrine protections for people who are expressing religious opinions in the workplace about sexuality, marriage, and other specific.
Right. It's basically saying if you and I were coworkers in a company where, you know, we fell under this guideline, a larger company, that unless that company had express policies specifically forbidding that, because the companies still have the ability to carve their own policies, but if a company had no policies, that I couldn't say you were discriminating if you said, you know, I like you, but at the same time, I just don't believe that same-sex marriage should be legal.
Right.
And I said, well, I think it should be legal. Well, those are a respectful way to express your opinions. And that's what it talks about. It talks about in like a non-confrontational or non-impactful way. So in other words, if you didn't stand up on your desk and yell, gays are going to hell, you know, that kind of a thing,
yeah.
then, you know, conceivably that would be protected.
Right. Finally, I have to just, before we move on, the impact that the LDS Church weighing in on this piece of legislation has.
Absolutely. I mean, that truly was the thing that tipped the scale. A few days ago, what was that, about a week and a half ago, you had a general authority of the LDS Church, I think he's second or third in line to be the next prophet, stand up and say, we endorse SB 296. It could not have made it clearer.
Right. Okay, well, so that's an interesting one. It's been a fascinating story. And it's
almost done. I mean, it passed the House committee yesterday. It's on its way to the House floor today. It's supposedly the votes are there. I haven't seen anything to indicate that this is not the year for this bill.
And the governor says he will sign it.
Exactly.
Okay. And then there's just 2 days left, as you said, just about 24 working hours. There's a lot of things that we're still waiting on, right?
Yeah, Medicaid still hangs in the balance. We don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, we know the Senate passed Healthy Utah, but the House defeated it. They passed their own Frail Utah or Utah Cares, but they're just holding on to that. They haven't even sent it to the Senate yet, so the Senate can't act on it. I mean, there's a lot of little sort of last-minute games, and nobody quite knows what their play is, if they're waiting until the time runs out and nothing happens, if they're waiting until there's no time for the Senate to amend it or
We don't know.
We don't know. We've still got this huge criminal justice initiative that's winding its way through, and it seems to be going through pretty successfully, but there's still, the clock is ticking. We still haven't found some resolution on partisan, nonpartisan, or appointed school boards yet. There's still like 3 or 4 different bills in the wings on that, just slowly making their way through. And we don't know at the end of the game, tomorrow night at midnight, which ones are going to be signed, which ones are going to be left hanging. Because what's on the board stays on the board. It's done. If they don't get to it, they don't get to it. It's dead for this year.
Well, Marianne, we'll have to check in with you, towards the end of the session or after the session ends. But a lot to deal with in just a tiny amount of time. Marianne Martindale is Executive Director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for a Better Utah. Thanks, as always, for coming in.
Thank you.
And you're listening to KCPW.